Hey everyone, welcome into another episode of A Must-Win Game with Maggie Gray. Today we're giving you a must-listen interview. It's with Warren Martin. He's a former defender for England's national team and has been an analyst for Fox for multiple World Cups, including this one, where he proved he is the toughest broadcaster in the tournament when he was hit in the head while broadcasting a match between Colombia and Uzbekistan in Mexico City. Dripping blood, still continued to call the match. I mean, what a gamer. And obviously very disappointed by the way that England finished against Argentina with that loss. He does not hold back on Thomas Tuchel, the coach of the English national team, and all of the questionable decisions that were made throughout the course of that match. But also some very pointed criticism to the U.S. side, and especially fair criticism towards one of our biggest stars in Christian Pulisic. So if you want a little U.S. talk, England devastation, Messi and Argentina and how they can pull off the back-to-back World Cups, he'll give us his prediction for who's going to win and the golden boot as well. Without further ado, here is Warren Barton from Fox.
The fans are pretty excited as well. Got me and Jackie Oakley, we got soaked with beer, which we hope was beer, actually, come over. And then about 10 minutes later, when they actually scored, so God forbid if they was losing the game, the Colombian fans, I got hit on the head with a bottle that was probably filled with water or another substance that hit me on the head. I just thought it was a knock. It was my partner, Jackie, who turned around and said, "Oh my God, you're bleeding. It's pouring." And I just put my hand there and it was blood on there. But it sounds glamorous. It sounds tough. And it's something that I can maybe tell my grandchildren. But like a true professional, I carried on. At least I didn't say any bad words when I got hit on the head, which I was really worried about. And we still had 10, 15 minutes of the game to go. So, as I said, it's something to tell people. Fox was concerned if I was okay, but I'm English. I'm tough. I can get on with it. So I was just a little bit surprised with the blood that was dripping down.
I think we all were. And I think you would have been forgiven if you had let a curse word out or two. But I just hope the next time you see Zlatan and Thierry Henry and your fellow analysts that you tell them, hey, you know, I made it through.
Yeah, I took blood for them. You know, I took blood. I carried blood for them. So they owe me big time.
Well, not to do, you know, a transition that's too on the nose, but I imagine most of England has a pretty bad headache today after losing to Argentina in the semifinal. What went wrong in that match?
Well, I think it was a great game by Argentina. I mean, they're champions for a reason. They've scored 8-9 goals in the last 10 minutes of a game. So they're never going to deviate. They're never going to panic. They're never going to give up. I think the manager, Thomas Tuchel, who was brought in for England to take us over that line to get to a final, we'd had Gareth Southgate before to get us to finals and in European competition, in World Cups to try and get us to semi-finals and try and get someone over the line. I think he panicked. He should apologise to the players because we had the game. We scored the goal. We go into hydration break, which is great. I love that. I think it's a great opportunity for coaches to get their points across. And what he did was very negative, to sit back and invite pressure on when we've got people like Rashford, who's playing at Barcelona, a wonderful player. Saka, who's just won the EPL Premier League with Arsenal, a wonderful player. And Ollie Watkins is one of the most desired strikers in the league, that would have put Argentina on their back foot a little bit, made them ask some questions. All three of them players have got pace. All three of them players work hard for the team. So it wasn't going to be an area where we was going to be maybe just isolated with a given player that's not going to track back and help. We could have caused them problems. But what we did, we dropped back, we invited pressure. And when you give Messi chance after chance, Jordan Pickford had made some great saves and they was going to take their opportunities. They could smell blood. They could sense that the substitutions coming on was very negative. We was going to invite pressure on it and it was only a matter of time. So, you know, he should take responsibility, Thomas Tuchel. He came out afterwards, Maggie, and said, "Oh, that's the best we played." No, we played great against Croatia in the second half when we played attacking soccer. We played great against Mexico when we had to defend with our lives in the Azteca down to 10 men. So we can win different ways. But what he did to Argentina is give them the sense of we're going to sit back, try and see the game out. And, if it's 10 minutes, I get it, 5 minutes. But 25 minutes to allow Messi to create chances, it's only going to happen one way. I feel for the fans as well. And I feel for Harry Kane, who's been brilliant, Stones, the back line, and Jude Bellingham, that's been phenomenal. But we had a chance and we blew it, really down to a manager making negative decisions.
Is this a fireable offense for Tuchel?
Yeah, I don't want to overreact because I think there was a lot of good things. And we, as I said, we wanted to bring him over the fight, but he failed a big test. That was his test to do that. He got an A plus for Azteca winning the game there. He got an A plus when he actually said at the beginning of the tournament, in the first half of a game, I want my team to be brave. I want them to go forward. I want them to take people on against Croatia. And we end up winning the game 4-2 and everything was great. This game, I think maybe the pressure got to him. Maybe he looked at his, but not just him as well. It's his coaching staff behind him. You know, he is the man and he gets paid the millions of dollars to make that decision. But I'm sure they would have had scenarios the night before. If we're winning this, what do we do? We've got tremendous players. You know, yes, Spain, France, Argentina, but we're not a million miles away. We've got some outstanding players and we just seem to be in fear of the opposition. Where Spain, they're winning against France. What do? They go forward for another goal. They don't try and see a game out. PSG in domestic soccer, they went 1-0. They try and win a game. So from that point of view, it's very disappointing. And everyone was, and I feel for someone like Harry Kane, who's been a wonderful professional. He's, you know, done so many good things with England. That was a chance. I mean, listen, if you get to the final, you're playing against Spain, who undoubtedly, with their performance against France, are one of the favourites. I was picking France to win it because I just thought the firepower, but it just shows you no one's as quick as that soccer ball. When they pass that ball around, you could be an athlete, but if you pass a move and play this wonderful soccer, they get tired. The ball never gets tired, and they ended up really, you know, putting a dominant performance in.
I mean, Spain is the favourite in the final. We'll get to that in just a moment. It's coming up on Sunday. You know, just one more thing about the England against Argentina, you know, such an amazing history between these two teams, a fierce history is maybe a better word for it. Where would you rank this semifinal in terms of all the historic matches that we've seen between those two nations?
Well, I'd throw the word in hatred, and it is hatred. They do not like us, and we do not like them. Maybe they dislike us a little bit more than we dislike them, and that showed you with their celebration. It showed you how they was determined to win the game. However, you know, I thought we handled the first hour of the dark arts, the pushing, the shoving, the elbowing. I thought we handled that really well. We didn't buckle. We had our own, but we didn't retaliate. We didn't fall into the trap of retaliation. So I thought we managed the game really well. I think, obviously, the game that comes up in the Azteca with Diego Maradona, the hand of God, a lot of things just after a war that had broken out 4 years ago, just before that in 82. There was a lot of tension, a lot of passion, and a lot of hatred in that game. And it's carried on because we don't play each other very much. They're in South America. We're in Europe. We did well in, I think, 2002 in certain games, but you know, when you have Messi on the biggest stage with their fans, it was going to be a difficult game. But, you know, you put that and Germany into the equation. They're two nations that we want to beat. But unfortunately, we've come up short against the Germans as well before in tournaments. So this one hurts a lot because we had an opportunity and we blew it by backing down. And that's not our nature. You know, England not used to backing down. If we're going to go out, we're going to go out with with giving everything we had. And the, I feel for the players and the fans in that stadium because they were sort of let down by the coaching staff because we had a chance to do something special. But they're champions for a reason. And they've got the best player that's ever played the game that is not going to go down without a fight and out without some quality. So, yes, it's disappointing, but we have to move on.
There have been so many heroics for Messi. I think even as broadcasters and people like us in the media, you run out of, you know, of yeah, superlatives to give to him because what we're watching just seems so unprecedented. How do you explain what we're seeing from him in this World Cup, which we weren't even sure he was going to participate in this World Cup after they won in the last one? He was contemplating retiring.
Yeah, and when you think he's 39 years of age playing at Inter Miami in MLS, you're thinking maybe has the quality dropped off where the intensity's not there of, say, Barcelona or PSG where he's played. The only way I can describe it, he's not from this planet. You know, he sees the game in a different way. He plays the game in a different way. Even his touch before Cape Verde, the outside of his right foot, most people, that touch, it would hit their shin, hit their knee and go out for a goal kick. he's just got a touch from God, and it's a pleasure to see him play. We've been blessed for 15 years with him and Ronaldo going toe-to-toe. You know, Tom Brady is in that element, Muhammad Ali, Tiger Woods, them type of people that you put in that bracket. Michael Jordan as well, I would say, with the older generation. But Messi is in there because he does things where Thierry Henry, Zlatan, they can't do that. And if them people can't do it, then you know he's at another level. And he's a joy to see. I love the fact with his family and his kids. It's just a great role model for people, not just athletes, but for people in general. You know, he wants to win. He loves winning. He's 39 years of age. And he's just a tremendous ambassador for sport and in life in general.
They found themselves trailing, though, in a few of these matches. Going up against Spain, if Argentina gets down a goal, how difficult is that going to be? I mean, they've needed some major heroics to come back and stay in this tournament.
Yeah, that's a fabulous point. I mean, how many times can you keep going to the well? How many times can that keep happening? And when you have a team like Spain, who have really gone under the radar, you know, they started the tournament in their group stage with a 0-0 against Cape Verde, which is like unknown. Everyone was like panicking and what's going to happen. But they kept their tournament identity. They kept moving along. They're European champions for a reason. They've got a great mentality of players and how they play the game, whether it's at Barcelona, whether it's Atletico Bilbao, wherever. It's a similar style of football, so they can relate to how they play the game. But yeah, if Argentina do go behind, it's going to be a massive ask because this Spanish team are so confident, are so good, are so adept to what they do. But that Argentina grit, fight and desire, they will find a way to get a chance. Now, whether they can take it, it is another thing. But, you know, they are vulnerable. And that was my question to Thomas Tuchel. When England got the goal, they was vulnerable. That we could gone on and win that game where they looked at us and we looked vulnerable. They took their chances. We didn't. They did. And that's something that they're going to have to be very conscious of, because I do think they're, you know, their back line, because they rely heavily on their attack line, they do leave their back line quite isolated, and you can exploit that on a one-on-one situation.
What matchup should fans be looking at, or what are you highlighting for the final on Sunday?
Well, I think when you have the GOAT, Messi, and the pretender coming along, Lamine Yamal, the young player, 19 years of age, and seeing what he's doing already as a young player. Again, two teams that have got superstars, two contrasts of style of football. One want a slower pace. Spain want to play good, incisive, attractive soccer. But I think if I'm any player, and I'm a fan, I'm going to be watching this game. You look at the number 11 and number 10 and see what they're going to do and how they're going to do it going forward. I said tremendous players, and it's a privilege. And you wouldn't write Argentina off to go back to back. They did it in Qatar. They've done it again. They've got great fan base as well. So a game that everybody will be watching. There'll be billions of people watching, not millions, billions of people watching this, because you've got him, the God, and then you've got this new sensation that's coming along. And he's only 19. He's done so much since he's 19 years of age.
You see the braces, you know, on it. Yeah. Kind of drives home the point of how young he is. And then also You see that photo now that's making the rounds yet again of this photo from years ago when Lamine Yamal's in a baby in a bathtub and somehow Messi is there. Like, it is a promotion, I think, for UNICEF.
Yep. It's mind-blowing. It's quite, Fox couldn't write this any better, the script. You know, the way it's gone along, all the big stars have been there. The tournament's been sensational. The stadiums have been full up. I've traveled all around both countries, whether it's been Canada, Mexico, and the US. The atmosphere has been brilliant. It's exactly what the country needed. English fans have fallen back in love with the US. When I was growing up many years ago, the US was the place to come. They've traveled, every English fan that I've heard, and the Scots have drunk Boston dry. It's been a sensational World Cup, and people are falling in love with America again, and that's great. And it's great for soccer as well in the country, because there's still room for improvement. The US did their bit, but unfortunately they went out with a bit of a whimper against Belgium. But there's room for improvement, but there's a lot of excitement about the game. It's been a sensational World Cup.
You know, I wanted to ask you about the U.S. men's national team because Flo Balogun admitted in an interview recently that all the controversy with the red card and then him being allowed to play, said the team did hear it and he thinks that it got into their heads a little bit. As a former athlete yourself, you hear that and what's your response?
Yeah, it looked like the stage was too much for the players. And it was great when you're that underdog and everyone's behind you, but all of a sudden you hit them bright lights and you either sink or swim, and you're playing against a team like Belgium that have got players that have seen them bright lights before. They've been involved in them situations, and they rose to the occasion rather than the US. But they shouldn't be disappointed. It was a disappointing performance, but the game against Paraguay really lit the tournament on fire, give a lot of belief. The game against Australia as well in Seattle was brilliant, a great atmosphere, the songs, the togetherness. So there was lots of good things, Maggie, but that one, like England, it leaves a sour taste in your mouth. But when you sit back and you have a couple of days to reflect, you say it was a sensational World Cup. It was a brilliant World Cup for them. There's room for improvement, but it was obvious the occasion was too much for the group of players.
I don't think anyone's reputation on the U.S. side took a bigger hit than Christian Pulisic. What is a fair criticism for his performance and what's an unfair criticism that you're hearing with Pulisic?
I think it's a fair criticism about his performances. I don't think he played particularly well. Maybe glimpses in one or two of the games. Remember, he took the summer off before to be ready for this summer, to be 100%, but he didn't want to play in the Gold Cup. He took a bit of criticism for that, being the leader, but he wanted to be ready for this tournament. He had a good season in Italy. Unfair criticism is an injury. There's not a lot you can do about that. I know the legends of Kylie Lloyd and Clint Dempsey said, and Landon Donovan, you would have had to drag me off, but it's an injury. But again, fair criticism is when he's asked a question and it's about him. I'll be fine if I'm rest. Fans don't want to hear that. You know, they want to hear that I'm gutted. I wanted to play, but it's about the team. We made good. Don't say I want to go and rest and I'll be okay. That people don't want to hear that. So I'm not sure whether he wants to be the face of soccer because of his personality, because that comes with responsibility. That comes with an air of pressure, and you've got to either thrive in that environment. And he seems a very low kid that wants to just play soccer. And that's fine if that's what you want to do, but you're not going to have all the accolades that go with it. So, testing time, but it's not a lot that he can do about an injury, but there is a lot he can do about the playing the game, not performing the way he wanted to and going forward. And you have to embrace that. You know, as I said, these superstars that we have, unfortunately, Christian Pulisic is not a Messi. He's not that type of player. Messi lets his soccer do the talking. He's not very an outspoken guy. Ronaldo is the other way. He's very outspoken, but he can do it. Christian's not at that level. You know, he doesn't embrace that pressure where, yeah, Tom Brady does and all these legends that do, they embrace that. But he's, unfortunately for Christian, he's not at that level.
It's funny that a guy like Flo Balogun, who's probably spent a grand total of 15 minutes in the U.S. before this tournament, you know, as now more of an American hero, air quotes, than Christian Pulisic from Hershey, Pennsylvania. It doesn't come, you know, more American than that. Last one on the U.S. team, and then I just got two more quick ones for you. What's the biggest lesson the U.S. men's national team should take from this World Cup?
Believe in yourself. You know, believe. Expect the pressure to come. And that's what I love about this sport. I've been in this country 18 years, and 18 years ago, Bruce Arena, or after that, didn't qualify for a World Cup. Not a problem. You can walk down the streets. Now that has changed. Now, if you don't qualify for a major tournament, it is a concern and there is consequences and there is questions being asked. And that just shows you that the growth is going. The women have done it on their side. They've won World Cups. They've been in finals. They create a spirit and a togetherness to go and win something. And that's what the US need to do. They need to believe in what they're doing. They need to go forward and they need to embrace the challenge and enjoy the environment. And I think that's what this tournament has taught this group of players, that if you do believe, you can go out there, but you've got to be prepared for them bright lights, because on the world of soccer, you're not 15 years ago where you're under the radar. Millions of people are watching you. You know, we had nearly 50 million people watching a game, 30 million people watching the US game. So you're a big deal now. So embrace that and enjoy that, like we do in England, like we have to do in Argentina, like they do in Brazil. If you want to be a hero, you've got to face the consequences and embrace that opportunity.
Okay, some predictions, if you'll give them. who wins the final on Sunday between Argentina and Spain? And I'll take a golden boot winner and a golden ball winner.
Well, if you look at my predictions, I said France and England in the final. So whatever I say now. So I think Spain will win. And I think Messi will be the golden boot as well. I think that he will score. But I think Spain have just got enough quality and enough of the understanding the situation. They won't get intimidated by Argentina. They won't get bullied by Argentina. They will keep their cool. They have a philosophy. And it should be a wonderful final. But I do see Spain coming out. But I do think Messi will have a say in the game. And normally it's a goal.
I can't tell you how much I appreciate this. And I know this is not going to make you feel any better today because obviously, you know, England losing is just devastating. I'm a Buffalo Bills fan, though. So you've been in this country long enough. You kind of understand our losses are so epic that they usually come with nicknames, you know? So if there's anyone who is at least like a misery loves company, I can identify with what you're going through to come so close and then to lose all the time.
Always a bridesmaid, always a bridesmaid. That's England. That's us. We have to go back 60 years.
Sometimes you're resigned to your fate, but I'm always hopeful that, there's always another tournament.
That's what kills us. It's the hope that kills us. It's the hope and the belief. So we just keep going. We're suckers for it. We're suckers.
I know. They say hope is a dirty word. Thank you so much. Enjoy the final. And I appreciate this. Thank you, Warren.
Anytime. Pleasure.